This is Back to Back.
Yo, what's up, Back to Backers? This is Willie Joy. Welcome to the show. This is Back to Back. This is my podcast. How are we? How we doing out there? How we feeling? How you doing? I said doing already. I guess that's enough questions. You get the idea. Nice to be back with you. I'm doing all right myself. Coming off my birthday weekend last week. Kept it pretty low key. A few friends, outdoor dinner, but it was great. I hope you had a great week as well. And let me tell you right now, it's about to get a little better. My guest this week, actually, you know what? Last week, let's talk about last week. I had Walshy Fire, one-third of Major Lazer. And this week, I've got Ape Drums on the podcast. Ape Drums is here, the newest member of Major Lazer, one-third of the group, along with Walshy and Diplo. And, you know, Diplo's been on the show a couple times, too, so we have now completed the Major Lazer trifecta. This was a great episode. I love Ape Drums. He's got a brand new EP out right now called the Soundboy EP. It's out on Mad Decent. It's got Ape Drums working with a lot of amazing dancehall artists, people like Beam, Silent Addy, many more. And you'll hear us talk about it in the conversation. It is back to classic Ape Drums vibes, just updated for 2021. Man, it really made me smile when I heard it. I think it's going to do the same for you. So if you want to go check that out, if you want to follow Ape Drums, keep up to date with him. There's a link in the description of this episode where you can go and do just that. We'll get into our conversation in just a second. Before we do, quick pre-announcement update. Look, guys, I alluded to this last week. There are some exciting happenings coming to the podcast. You're going to see the official announcement up on my socials, and I'll probably actually put a very short little episode out here as well with the official announcement this week. But suffice it to say, I said this already on the last episode, we are going live. You're going to be able to watch these conversations being recorded in real time. You're going to be able to interact with it if that is what you would like to do. One thing you should really do if you haven't done it already is come and join the Back to Back Discord. There's going to be another link in the description of this episode where you can find us there. Come join the Discord, guys. Come say hi to me. I'm in there all the time. And if you want to get involved with this show a little more, you want to get a little interactive, that's going to be the best place to do it as well. If you're a music producer, there's a space where you can come share what you're working on, get some feedback from some other great producers, link up, network, all of that good stuff. All of that is on the Discord. So come say hi to me there. All right. So look, for today with Ape Drums, man, I'm really glad we got up to do this. Ape Drums is somebody I've known for a long time, but we never really were that close. It was always in passing. It was always just, you know, friendly acquaintances. But he's always been one of those people who just always leaves a great impression. You just walk away being like, yeah, I like that guy. That's a good guy. And I think this conversation only goes to prove that he is, in fact, a good guy, as well as an extremely talented musician. Really interesting story. He's somebody who's really carved out a lane for himself, executed a vision for what he wanted his sound to be that has led him all the way into being a member of Major Lazer. And as you're about to hear, he's got a lot of plans for the future as well, and I am looking forward to seeing them. Once again, go follow Ape Drums, hit the link in the description, go grab the Soundboy EP, which is out right now on Mad Decent. And look, as things are opening back up, you know Major Lazer's going to be back on the road. So go see him anytime he's coming through your town. But for now, I just hope everyone out there is having a good day. I hope you had a good week. I hope everything in your life is going the way you want it to be going. Thank you all, as always, for supporting this show. Shout out to everybody who's been supporting week after week, year after year. Look, if you want to reach me on social media, at Willie Joy or at Back to Back Pod on everything, If you want to support this show, the best way to do that is to help us spread the word. Tag us in your stories, put up a tweet letting people know they should be listening. And of course, I'm always going to be interacting with anything you guys put out there. I love to meet new listeners, old listeners. I love to talk to everybody out there and just share in these conversations that I'm having every week. It's really the best part of doing this. So much love to all of you. I hope you enjoy this episode. I know that I did. Let's get into it right now. This is me and Ape Drums back to back. Let's go. I was trying to think about the last time I actually saw you.
I feel like it was like probably like Vegas 2014 EDC or some shit like that.
God damn.
Something like crazy.
You're
like
probably
maybe
right.
Hard or something.
You're probably right. I can't believe it's been that long, man. It's wild. I don't know. And then to see you now doing what you're doing with Major Lazer, and I don't know. I don't know the best way to like jump into this, but I will say I was listening to your new EP, the Soundboy EP. It was cool to hear it, not only because it was really good music, but it also reminded me of those days, the ones you were just talking about, the 2014, you know, running around when all of this shit was new. You know what I mean? Like when what you were doing, the idea of combining these Caribbean sounds with modern dance music, that kind of thing, when that was like a new concept, you know what I mean? And it's still, I don't know if this is intentional. I don't know if this is just the way you work, but hearing the new EP, I was like, man, like he saw it back then.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really put music out in a few years because, you know, since 2015, I was just constantly putting music out, remixes, and I just kind of lost my, I guess like my perspective as a producer. I was like, man, like in my DJ sets, I don't ever play any of these remixes. I don't play a lot of my songs because maybe I just don't, they just don't fit in my set. I was like, I got to start making stuff that fits in my set. I got to take a step back and, you know, and then music was changing so fast. But yeah, with this EP, I kind of just wanted to go back to the roots of where I started and also put out music that people expected from me. Like sure. You said, a lot of people kind of, you know, they hear Ape Drums and they put me in as like a Caribbean dance music producer. Like you hear Ape Drums, they think, oh yeah, he's the guy that makes dance hall and this and that. So I kind of just wanted to put this first EP back, you know, out as basically the same stuff I was making when I was starting, but just updated, you know what I mean? And with new up and coming artists that I think are super talented. And yeah, I just want people to know that this is kind of like the Ape Drum sound, like the OG sound. So as far as like this EP, my first EP back, I guess I kind of just wanted to put out what people expected from me. And yeah, man, I'm getting a lot of great feedback.
Oh, 100%, man. I love it. And it feels fresh. It's funny how things go in cycles like that, you know, like it feels fresh again, what you're doing. And it's interesting too, like you hearing you say, you know, doing like you wanted to give people what they expected, what they know the Ape Drum sound for. Is that kind of expectation? Like you said, people hear Ape Drums and they think, oh, he does Caribbean music. Do you like that? Is that a perception you want people to have of your sound?
100%, man. I love it. Like this is at the end of the day, this is where I got my foot in the door by making this kind of music. You know what I mean? I wanted to be different. I wanted to be someone in dance music that stood out and also kind of introduced a lot of people to this music that they might have not heard before, you know what I mean? Or they're not familiar with.
Yeah.
So I actually love that people kind of like, you know, look at me as that.
Well, I mean, how did that, let's take it back a little bit. You know, these interests and these influences on you, how did it start? Because are you from Houston originally?
Born and raised Houston, yeah.
Yeah. So what was childhood for you, man? I mean, what kind of kid were you? What kind of music was around you? Like what was going on locally that influenced you when you were like little kid?
It's crazy because growing up as a little kid, like my mom raised us, me and my sister. So she was really into all kinds of music, man. Like my whole family, I have a big family. I have a lot of aunts and uncles who have kids. So I grew up listening to all kinds of music. All of my cousins play guitar. So I listened to a lot of heavy metal growing up. I listen to a lot of, on my dad's side, I would listen to a lot of Spanish rock.
Oh, yeah.
And then my mom, she loved, you know, Marc Anthony. She loved Sade. She loved Too Short. She loved all kinds of music, man. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, she really was into it. And I feel like that has something to do with it, you know, growing up and hearing all these different kinds of music.
That's definitely going to give you the DJ mentality. I feel like that's going to build your DJ brain from a young age.
Yeah, man. Song selection came early for me. I was like, oh, I know what good songs are good and which ones are not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, like I never really heard like Caribbean music or I never grew up with it, I guess you could say. But I did first hear it when I was like a teenager. And there were, YouTube wasn't a thing yet. It was like E-Bomb's World or some other thing.
And, oh man, E-Bomb. Shout out to E-Bomb's World.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. And like, I came across like a music video from like some Jamaican artist. I think his name was like Rally Bop and some other. It was crazy. It was like, at that time, it was like a crazy song. Like in Jamaican, it was trending or something. And I just like, from then on, I was like, yo, this is crazy. And then you hear, I would hear like, even in the 90s, like there was some dancehall-ish songs that were kind of popping. And then obviously the mid-2000s, early 2000s is when Sean Paul kind of took his, you know, he went crazy.
Yeah.
So after those years, I just kind of got familiar with it. I did my own research online. I was like, okay, cool. Dancehall music from Jamaica, Sean Paul, Mr. Vegas. And then, you know, a lot of American rappers were like doing music with those guys. So I just kind of got involved and I kind of did my research online after that.
That makes sense. I mean, it's interesting to hear you say, well, two things, I guess. It's interesting that it wasn't something that was around you, that it wasn't something that like all your friends were listening to. Because to me, that's that kind of thing where, you know, you find something and it just connects with you. That makes sense. I can relate to that because I've had that experience with music where it's just like you find something randomly and it has this crazy impact on you and kind of changes the way your brain works. That to me is always a good indication that that's something you got to pursue and follow, you know, rather than it just being kind of what everybody was into. And so naturally you get into it. I mean, was there anyone around you who was also had those interests?
Not at all, man. Like now that you bring that up, I always felt in Houston, I always felt like an outcast, like not because I was like, oh, I'm different, but like, because I was always into different stuff. And I was always like, I guess like I, like just doing my research, I always just knew about way more stuff that was going on other than people around me. And like, especially with music, I'd be like, you heard this? What is this? Like nobody knew what anything was. And I was like, man, this is crazy. I feel like there's so much more out there. Nobody cares to know, you know? So I always felt like that person, man. And I will, now that I think about it, I do remember, I used to buy cassettes when I was a kid, just based off the cover art. And there was one cassette called Playero 41. And it was this DJ named DJ Playero from Puerto Rico, I think. He basically would put out mixes. So this was a 41st mix he put out cassette tape. And it was just like 2 hour long mixes of like reggaeton and dancehall and like 90s freestyle. It was crazy. So when I heard that, I was like, man, these are all like crazy sounds. I was like, basically what he was doing, he was getting dancehall rhythms and getting Latin rappers to rap over him.
Oh, yeah.
Which is how reggaeton became. So it was like, I think I kind of got a big, big push into dancehall music from hearing those rhythms. Because I'd be like, yo, these rhythms are crazy. What song is this? What's this beat? And then also hearing like samples. And after that, man, I was like listening to music differently than anybody else. I was like a kid. I was like, but I was still listening to all the samples of drums and everything that producers would, like nobody was listening to music like that at my age. So I was like,
yeah.
I remember that from earlier. I was like, yo, this snare is crazy. This bass line, what's that little weird sound in the back? Like,
oh, so you were picking it apart early.
Yeah, early, man. Yeah.
I mean, how old are we talking here? Like what age are you when you're listening to this?
I'm going to say probably like 13.
Oh yeah. So yeah, that's pretty young to be thinking that way, man. And it's interesting too, like thinking about the idea of those tapes and those ideas, and especially, you know, early internet years too, right? Where we don't have access to everything all right away. Like, I don't know. It's interesting thinking about how different like levels of technological innovation change how artistic creativity works. Because back in that time, you think about like a DJ like that just has this idea to take, you know, dance hall rhythms and put Latino artists over them or whatever it is. And that, you know, that's mind blowing at the time, right? Because, and the only way you can get it out is these physical cassettes. And it's something that made its way to you. And then now, today, it's like the idea of combining two people from different parts of the world, you know, that seems normal, right? And it may, yeah. I wonder, like, I don't know, I don't really have an answer for this, but I wonder, like, what's the equivalent of that in 2021? Like, how do we be creative in that way in 2021? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good question, man, because I mean, for me, it's just so fast paced. Like you said, people are just collaborating nonstop. Like now it's just normal to collaborate from somebody, you know, all the way across the world, or, you know, you're in one city, then you just hit up somebody else in the studio. It's just like, it's collaborations nonstop 24/7, man. Like people couldn't do that, you know, a few years ago. So, I don't know. Like for me, I mean, for the way I work, the only way I can get creative is to kind of take a break and like, you know, actually live life, because I know some guys that are literally in the studio, they're living in the studio all day, every day. They wake up in the studio, make music all day, and they go to sleep at 7 a.m., wake up at, you know, 12, 10, and go back. And I'm just like, man, I can't do that, because
maniacs.
You guys are workaholics. I get it. You know, put in the work, hustle, but I feel like you're burning out your creativity. If you're in a studio for that long, there's only so much you can do, and you're just going to burn yourself out. And then you're putting so much content that barely any of it's actually pretty good, you know, at most of the times. So it's like, why don't you just kind of like live life? Like, don't actually just work and still, like, there's more to life, you know, go do something for yourself. Go, you know, maybe do something active, go work out, go do some art, go, ride a skateboard, go to the basketball, anything, man. It could be anything, fishing, like just kind of like, and I think those things, when you do those things, it's really good for your mentality, because it's like thinking time. When I go to the
100%,
gym, you know what I mean? Even when I used to mow the lawn, man, like that was the best therapy for me, because I would just put on headphones, I'll put on any kind of radio station or whatever and just listen to music. I'd find new music on like Beats One, and it was just like the best meditation for me. I think about so many ideas. I'm like, oh yeah, this song. Oh, I heard that. Like, maybe I sampled this from this song. Oh, okay. Let me put it in my notes. And then you start getting ideas. Like, I think that's super important for being creative, especially in 2021, like keeping that creative juice up.
Yeah, 100%, man. I think, well, again, two things. First of all, that I think that's how you know you came up, is when you say, back when I used to mow the lawn. You're like, I don't mow the lawn anymore.
I mean, look, man, like I'll go back home and mow my mom's lawn, but as of right now, I live in an apartment. I don't have a lawn. So, but if I did, I'd mow it. Or I just, like you said, you know, you got the money, you pay somebody to do it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I live in a building, man. Yeah, I don't mow the lawn either. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
But the other thing you said too about, you know, making sure you have diverse life experiences and all that, I think it's so easy to kind of get trapped in a cycle if you're just living in the studio and living on social media. To kind of, I think even just unintentionally, it's like your mindset gets infected by not having enough outside input and only seeing what's on the screen, right? And I think that it's like too much, it's kind of weird. I don't know if you feel this way. I think too much influence from other producers and other artists can be harmful sometimes. Like, I love watching what other people are doing. And the reason I do what I do is because I was a DJ first. Like, I love finding new music and new ideas and people and all that. But then when I'm trying to sit down and write music for myself, if I'm paying attention to too many other people, it's hard to sort of find why you're doing it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Exactly. And that's why I say that, because that's basically what happened to me. I think the last song that I put out before the EP was Shells
with Denzel.
Denzel Curry, yeah. And after that, I was like, man, what am I doing? Like, what kind of music do I even want to do? I need to start thinking about what I want to do for the next 5 years in my DJ career. Like, not to be like super like, you know, but
yeah,
I just like, to me, I was like, man, look, I'm getting older. I want my sound to grow. Music is changing so fast. Like, I definitely want to be successful and just still, you know, be able to get booked and DJ different cities and produce, but I want to make sure I'm doing it and happy with it, you know? So that's why I had to take some time off, 2 years off. And I was like, you know what? I think I got an idea of what I want to do now. Let's put this Soundboy EP out. Let's get some dancehall for the dancehall Ape Jones fans, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like, all right, cool. What's next? Like, now I get to experiment and actually like, damn, all right, this is really what I want to do now. I first started producing house music. That was like the first music I was producing.
When was that?
That was like 2014. 14, I started doing dancehall music because 2013 was a year where it was like blog house, progressive, electros. You know, that back when DJs were getting agents and basically becoming big and famous from another DJ playing their song.
Yeah.
In their set, you know, like I remember the days, you know, Steve Angelo plays a song and everybody's like, what song is this? and all the blogs were posting the song ID. And then, so then when people find out the song, who the song is, it's, you know, Avicii. That's literally how he got famous. I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, isn't
era.
That crazy? Yeah.
And then, then he started touring and playing festivals and he became like the biggest DJ in the world at one point. And so that's why I was like, man, there's so many DJs doing the same thing at that time. Like, I was like, let me try to do something that stands out. Like, let me play some dancehall, but for like festivals, you know what I mean? DJs could play. Because there was none at the time, man. Nobody's making dancehall other than maybe Major Lazer did a few records. But at that time, Major Lazer was making still what was considered weird. Like,
yeah.
People didn't get
yeah.
it.
Super so, weird, yeah.
So people didn't understand it yet. So I was like, yo, I kind of, there's a middle balance. Like, I know that there's a middle balance. I can hear it, you know? So that's when I did my thing. And then, you know, I did that for a while. I kind of want to like step out and maybe go back to some, you know, house music, maybe do a little bit of this and that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think, you know, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, but I think, you know, you being a part of Major Lazer now too opens up those kind of avenues a little bit where, you know, at this point, I think Major Lazer's done a fantastic job of kind of bridging that gap and connecting the dots for people. And, you know, you can make a super weird underground record followed by a super pop mainstream record, and it all kind of makes sense, you know, under the banner of the group. But what I was going to say is, you know, that for those first couple dancehall records you came out with back in the day, and more specifically, like the World Boss record you did with Vibes Cartel. I mean, I think that, I don't know if that was the first record of yours I heard, but it was the first one where I was here, you know, just seeing everybody playing it, everybody talking about it. I mean, how did that record come about? And were you like in the studio? Were you talking to Vibes Cartel?
Nah, man, that was actually an acapella I found.
Oh, shit.
It was an acapella I found on some blog, and I was like, I need something with like a dope dancehall vocalist, obviously, Vibes Cartel, like being like the best. I was like, I got to get a good Vibes Cartel vocal, man. And I've downloaded it, and I was like, I don't know if anybody knows this vocal from anywhere. It's not a big song. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just make an original with it. And, I was just like, man, I'm going to just keep it simple, just keep it dark and keep it like heavy. Nothing too crazy. I don't want too much melodies, no chords. Like, you know, just keep it dark, heavy drums, and then just banging when it drops. You know, obviously it has a drop. So I was like, I got to make a crazy drop for it. Just in your face. And yeah, that's what I did, man. I put it out. I sent it out. And the thing with that song is I only sent it out to like five DJs because when I was doing promo, I was like, man, I'm not going to be that guy that blasts 100 DJs the same song. And I can't, it just doesn't make sense. Obviously, I don't know why these guys are doing this.
It's
just,
smart. You know? Yeah, that's smart.
So I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to go straight to the top guys. I was like, all right. DM'd on Twitter. I was like, yo, I got this song. Like, I would love to get your email. I'll send it to you, whatever. And I got like three or four, and I sent it to them, and they all replied like I was on point with my promo. I was like, yo, and they were like, yo, this is crazy. Yo, this is the best song I heard all year. Like, this is wow. Like, let's do a collaboration. And then from then on, it just like spread. They were sending it to other DJs. And back when DJs like did that, I guess.
You know? Yeah, right. I know it doesn't happen so much anymore, but that's a good point you just made for anyone listening who's thinking about how to get their music out there. It's like, you know, think about who the song is intended for. Because you're right. I get sent songs all the time by people I don't know where I'm like, yeah, it's a good song, but what am I going to do with it? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, send it to who you think will actually play it in their sets. Don't just send it to every DJ and hope he like, you know, sends it to everybody and I get big. Like, it's just, it's not going to like happen like that. It's got to be more tech, like, what's the word I'm looking for? You just got to be smart with it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did.
That's great, man. One, and I mean, some of those early ones you were sending to people who would go on to be kind of the top dogs, right?
Yeah, man. Definitely guys that we were started collaborations and definitely guys I couldn't collaborate with anymore, you know, because they're just too, yeah, too big. So.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So, okay, so if it was an acapella that you just found, though, let me flip that question, not how did you work with him, but how did you clear that sample? How did you clear the vocal?
I didn't, man. That's still on what's that website called? Where you sell your own music? What is it called?
Oh, shit. Oh, that's how you got it?
Bandcamp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But let me extend the question then and ask it in a different way. You know, let's even talk about the Soundboy EP. Like, you've collaborated with tons of different artists at this point. What is that process like? And what was it like, especially in the early days, you know, making connections before you sort of had the established name and the sound that people knew you for? What's that process like of, you know, communicating to someone who kind of exists in a slightly different musical realm and getting them to work with you and getting them to kind of understand where you're coming from with it?
Well, honestly, the people that I've worked with, like, have come to me because they just liked the sound, like the sound that I was doing. It was something new, it was something fresh. It hit crazy. It's probably like, you know, it stood out. It's probably something they never heard before. So naturally they were just like, yo, we should work on shit. I like what you're doing. Like, this is crazy. This is your sound. Like, we should do something like this. So it really wasn't like a barrier or anything weird. It was, they already knew what they were kind of like getting themselves into working with me. So other than that, it was pretty natural, man.
Yeah. Well, that's the best place to be. Like, when I think about your sound, it's kind of what you were saying. Like, it hits super hard in that EDM way, right? Like, there's drops and it can move those crowds, but then it's still, and I mean this as a compliment, it still feels like weird and fresh and kind of away from that. Like, it's not aggro for aggro's sake. It's not in that corny EDM zone. And I don't know if that's something you consciously think about. I don't know if that's just sort of what comes naturally to you when you produce. But I think it's that quality that probably attracts authentic people to come and work with you.
Yeah, it's never going to be one of those things where it just becomes like, you know, super trendy. Like, it did for a while. A lot of up and coming artists were doing like dance hall, like edits and drops, like kind of basically just trying to copy like my songs, which is yeah, dope, which is great. Like, I love it. I'm like, man, I kind of started this whole thing. And like, every time somebody would make a song like that, people would be like, yo, this sounds like an Ape Drum song. And like, and I love that. I was like, all right, dope. Like, I fuck with it. But it's just still so weird that it's never going to become like, in, you know, like in the front of everything else that's already popping, you know? So It's always going to be like, it's always going to be there like on the outsides, but it's never going to be like main stage, like boom, like I've tried, you know, it's just, it doesn't have that. It's still, it's just so off. Like, the beat is just so off. It's not organized enough for people to understand it in America yet, or for like EDM festivals yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I mean, it's interesting to hear you say that because I don't know if I agree that it's because of the sound or if it's just because of kind of the culture around EDM and like the way things are presented, you know? Because I think I think if that sound was put on main stage, like say a promoter just, you know, was feeling frisky and books, you know, Ape Drums headlining EDC or whatever it is, like you would smash that. I think it would work, but I think it's I think it's something weird in the culture. And I've talked to other people about this, like EDM in particular has always had a spotty record of sampling and appropriation and the way other cultures and sounds are used or presented or even thought about. And it's tough because, like you said, I don't know how that changes exactly, but it's that same frustration of like, well, why can't it? Why wouldn't that be a main stage sound along with all the rest? Because for you and me, it's like DJ brain, like those, you know, Big Room House and what you're doing to me, like, yeah, those exist in the same set, easy, you know?
I think you're right. It's just the culture thing. Like, not a lot of people are familiar with the culture, like 100%. That's basically what it is, which is great, though. I think it's better that it stays off from being, like, pop-ish and, like, main stage. Yeah. And, like, I think it's cool for it to have its own little thing in its own little lane, you know, no matter what.
Well, that keeps it underground, right? And that keeps it, I think, culturally fresh. Because when something goes mainstream, I mean, you know as well as I do, that brings in a whole other set of problems and issues.
Yeah, it's ruined after that. It would be like the worst music would come from it for sure.
Right. So then I guess it's like, how do we thread that needle of making sure the real ones and the important people and the people doing good work get paid and get their due and all that, without, you know, taking it too far and having the money people come in and kind of losing any kind of control or any kind of say of what's going on with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. I don't have an answer for it, but it's just, it's interesting to think about.
Yeah. that's just the music industry, man. Like, that's why it's like, before I was producing, like when I started, I was like, man, I want to produce so other DJs can play my music. And so like I can, other people can appreciate it and like want to, you know, play my stuff and want to listen to it and want to sing. But now I'm like, man, you know what? After all these years, I think it's time to make music for myself. And if I get booked, like I want to play the music. I want to play music that I've produced to play out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like also like maturing as a producer and like in your career, you're like, man, all right. As a DJ too, it's like, by now, like my next few shows, I want to do like at least 60% of my set has to be my own music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and eventually get more and more and more to where you actually do like a live show and it's like all your own music and people are there for that specific reason and, you know, that's, something.
That's,
it's just,
yeah,
it's,
that's the
so
wave,
much.
Man. I think that's where everything's heading right now. And I think it makes total sense because like you said, you know, back in the day, you could blow up just off of one other DJ dropping your song in a set, but it's not exactly like that anymore. And I think what you said, one of the things you said is the key, where you got to make it still fun and exciting for yourself, you know, as opposed to trying to please those other DJs or whoever you're thinking about. At the end of the day, it's like, well, you know, who are we really doing this for?
Exactly. And I feel like if you do it for yourself, the people who are really there for your music will enjoy it as well, no matter what, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. It's the only way to like long-term happiness in this game, I think.
For sure.
Yeah, because if you keep chasing other people's approval, man, yeah, that's, you just never get there. It's like the impossible, I don't know, that to me is like, it's like a drug addiction or something. You can never fully get there.
And then, yeah, you can never get there. Then whenever it's like people don't like it, you just like feel like shit, you know, you're just like, oh, fuck, like, damn, I'm failing. Like, do I want to do music anymore? You know,
like, it's like, yeah, no, 100%, man. I mean, did you, in those early days, did you have trouble, you know, beyond like the DJs who heard it and liked it? Did it feel like slow? Did you have trouble getting people to kind of understand what you were trying to do?
Nah, actually, when World Boss came out, and Bashman and like stuff like that, that's when like kind of my everything was picking up pretty quick, man. People were accepting it, people were loving it. Like I was like, oh, I was getting so many shows, like it was a good time, man. But then, you know, I kind of lost myself as an artist, like I was then after that, I was trying to make music to please everyone else. Like, all right, what is so-and-so? Like, what are these fans going to think? What is this crowd going to think? I need to make something for when I play these shows. These people aren't going to like it. They have to like it. So that's kind of steered away from what I was really doing, you know? But yeah, like around that time when I was doing it, people were loving it, man. Like I was actually like excited. The sound was working. You know what I mean? I was really into like dance on Jamaican culture, and I was super happy to be putting them on in some way, getting connected with other, you know, DJs that were playing the same kind of music. Artists, it was just super exciting for me, man. I really couldn't believe all the stuff that was really going on.
Yeah, I mean, and those memories, man, are precious, because it's like you can only be new once, you know, and you can only have like those first times once. Like, what was, if you think back to that, like, what was the first like big show or big tour you did that like really felt like, oh, like this is like what I've been looking at for all these years?
Man, the first tour I ever did, it was a US tour. It was to support Chasing Status.
Oh shit, and okay.
It was crazy. The thing is, Chasing Status, they don't have a huge fan base out here.
Yeah.
They're obviously legends in the UK, but
yeah, they're like gods out there.
Yeah, so, you know, when my agent told me about them, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I saw their name, but I never really paid attention to, you know. But then I looked their stuff, like, I got more, like, I did my research, and I was like, wait, these guys, like, play this shit. Like they're basically in the same world. They just do it in the UK version of it.
I mean, they're fucking legends, man. Like, I love drum and bass from a young age, so I was always following what they were doing. But back in those days, like early 2010s, I mean, that's like they were kind of dipping their toes into Caribbean sounds too, right? Like,
yeah, wasn't,
didn't they
started.
Have that like international record? I used to love that record. You remember that one? Those like international.
Oh yeah. The Cuddy Ranks? No.
Yeah,
I forgot who it was, but yeah,
yeah,
it's
too.
A big yeah. Yeah, that record obviously is crazy, but just doing my research on it, I was like, wait. And then doing the tour with them, I learned so much. Like just from their DJ sets, how MC Rage and interacted with the crowd. I was just like, man, like these guys are fire. Like I get it now. Like I get where they're coming from. Drum and bass, like, you know, jungle and like MCs, you know, spitting patois, and like it was just fire, man. So I learned a lot in watching those guys DJ sets and interaction and how they did edits and mashups. And even still to this day, man, I still watch their Red Bull Clash. They did what they won, and that's one of the craziest shows I've ever seen in my life. Like I watch it to get inspired sometimes, man.
Oh, that's dope, man. I don't know if I saw that one. I gotta check it out. But I mean, it's interesting, like hearing you say this makes me feel like an idiot, because I'm sitting here being like, well, what's the, you know, how do you mesh the Caribbean sound? And then you think about it, like the UK drum and bass guy, they've been doing that since what, the early 90s? Like,
yeah,
that's like old hat to them.
Exactly. It was definitely, they've been doing it because they've have more of a relationship with, you know, there's a lot of Jamaicans, you know, UK basically owns Jamaica. So it's like they have a way closer relationship with that culture. Like, you know, so it's easier for them to kind of understand it and have it go crazy, and they can do a lot more with it. But especially being from Houston and Texas, bro, it's like, bro, like nobody, there's nothing there. That, like, it's, I was like the only one. And I would always tell people, yo, you know, like, you ever heard of dancehall music? What's dancehall? What's that? And I'm like, like Sean Paul, like, hello, like reggae? I'm like, yeah, but reggae's not dancehall. It's different. It's like
right. When you hear it,
so it's like, I had to explain that a million times to people in Houston. I was just kind of trying to inform people, you know?
I mean, that's interesting to think about. Like if we take it back to Houston for a second, did it feel stifling or did it feel isolated? Like, what were you, you know, as getting into your late teens, like, I don't know if you went off to college or whatever, but what was going on in your life? Like, how did you end up doing music in the first place?
Well, long story short, when I was like 10, maybe even younger, maybe like 8, I wanted to be a scratch DJ because I would watch like videos and like, I would go to invisiblescratchpickles.com and
oh,
like,
yeah.
watch other videos that would do, and there would like, there was like six guys scratching and doing routines. And it was like, man, at that time, obviously it was like the hottest thing in the 90s, you know? So I was like, yo, I want to do this. I would like beg my mom, like, please like buy me like some turntables or take me to turntable school or DJ school. And we just couldn't afford it. So after years, I just kind of like, whatever, like, all right. I still enjoyed music though, but throughout high school, I was a dancer. That was like my, I was known as in school as a dancer, okay. So I was like break dancing, I was crumping, I was popping. Like that was my role in high school. Like, you know,
That was under your yearbook photo. So yeah.
Exactly. So people were always, I was always dancing. We always did performances in school. Like that was my thing. So I was like, you know what? I want to be a choreographer. I went to like a Justin Timberlake concert, and like the dancing was crazy. I was like, yeah, I want to do that. So I always had like some kind of super good relationship with music. And I think that actually helps with like song selection, because I knew what songs were good to dance to.
Right.
Like the beat has to be good. So anyway, long story short, I don't know how, like, I don't remember how I really got back into it, but I did download Fruity Loops. I downloaded like the Neptune's pack. I was like trying to make Neptune type beats, you know, yeah. Timbaland type beats. And then, I got into house music because my mom had told me, oh, look, she found like a flyer or something. She's like, oh, you ever heard of these kids? Like they're called the Martinez brothers. And I was like, and I was looking, I was like 17 years old.
Wow.
I was like, these kids were like my age. I was like 17 years old. Like they're touring. Like what? I was like, what? You know, I looked it up. And I see him playing Pasha New York, like block party kids, bro. Like, yeah, like right, it's crazy. Right. And I'm just like, what? Like, I've never even seen CDJs before. I've never, the way they were DJing, it wasn't scratching. It was like just mixing.
Yeah.
Everything was, I was like, yo, I've never seen this before. The crowd looks crazy. They're playing house music. This is wild. So did my research, and I was just like, man, and I just kind of got inspired again. And I was like, yo, I kind of, I guess, you know, this DJing, touring as a DJ producer artist is like a thing now. It's about to be crazy. Like you can actually tour and do shows just as a DJ.
Yeah.
You're not like a singer or rapper. I was like, this is wild. Like this is new. I want to do that. And I was like, yo, the only way to do that is you have to produce. You have to produce your own shit. So I opened up Fruity Loops again and just started like learning and just messing with it, experimenting with it. And then, yeah, that's how I got into producing. And I picked it up pretty quick. Because I really wanted it, you know, it's something when you really want something, you really want to learn it and get good at it. And whatever I do, I want to be the best. So I'm like, and I had a naturally good ear for music and sound. I knew when something was off key, I knew when something sounded good.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that, man. And just.
Well, I mean, hearing you talk about, you said a couple times now about different things, you know, you did your homework, you really dived into that kind of thing. Has that always just been your personality? Like if you find something you like, you just, you know, go in 100%?
Yeah, for sure. Because like school, like anything that was uninterested, I'm just like, gosh. But anything with music and producing, and then I learned with, you know, what's mixing and master, EQ and compression? What is that? Did my research. And I was just like, next thing you know, 6 hours have went by and I've watched 100 videos on what compression it is. And I just became like, I don't know. I just became like obsessed with it because I wanted to learn,
yeah.
You know? And like thinking back to that, I'm like, man, that's crazy that I actually taught myself everything on YouTube. I had nobody like there helping me. I had nobody.
I was about to ask. Yeah.
So yeah, literally just YouTube, man. YouTube taught me everything and just experimenting with Fruity Loops. Like even still to this day, bro, like I don't know what anything is. Like I'm just like, I just know what this does and this does. And like, I think that's crazy. I think a lot of kids and up and coming producers need to like hear that, because I feel like they all think we were like masters and we went to school. We have degrees in music, you know, and that's not what it is. Cause like the guys are still telling me, oh yeah, can you lower down like 5 decibels on this? And I'm like, I don't know what that is, bro. Right. Like you're talking music to me. Like tell me it's just an easy, you know, lower down the volume on this a little bit.
Right. So. Well, and you're right, man. I mean, I'll say this to you because I did go to school and I do have a degree in music and I still do things the wrong way. And I still don't know what shit means. Like maybe that's just cause I'm a bad student, but But for real, it's like, yeah, you're completely right that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what tools. I think people get so obsessed with, you know, what plugin did you use? What tool did you, how did you, you know, what keyboard shortcut, all that kind of, and all that kind of stuff. If you're into it, go for it. Like, learn everything. That's great. But you don't have to. There's nothing you have to do.
Yeah, you just have to find your own way of doing it. You know, everybody has their own way. Everybody uses their own different DAW. And, you know, like, luckily FL Studios, even still to this day, people try to change. Like, you need to get on Ableton. I'm like, I mean, that'd be cool. It'd be great. But I don't need to. Like, I'm comfortable in FL Studio.
Right.
And, you know, like, it just it sounds better. Everybody's always asking me to bounce down certain projects because it sounds better on FL Studio to get mixed. And
right.
I'm just like, it's like, I don't, you know, it's whatever. I'm happy. And, you know, if it sounds good, it sounds good. And there's no rules. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just if you, you know, I even guys I work with, I'm just like, like, what are you doing? Like, take this out. You don't need all this. Like, just use this sample. You don't have to. Oh, what? And they always like confused. I'm like, trust me, bro. Like, you don't.
That's the key, man. Taking shit out. I talk about this all the time. Instead of adding something, take something out instead.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's hard for some people to hear, but man, that's why, you know what? Most of the time I'm by myself because I don't have to. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly what I want. And most of the time I'm happy with it. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you think you've evolved as a producer over time? Like, if you look back at it from when you first sort of got back into FL and taught yourself all that shit over YouTube and all the way up to now, like, were there any, you know, those like light bulb moments where something clicked and you really made a change, or has it been like a gradual evolution of what you do?
I think it was pretty gradual. When I first started, I was like going 100%. I was that guy that was like, everything has to sound crazy because I didn't know there was options to get songs mixed and mastered. Like anything I produce or anything I put out, I've always in my head, like, I got to make sure it sounds pristine. Like, you know, so I would like EQ and compress every sound I put in the, you know, our project. I would do, like, just add so much more to a song. Like when it comes to a buildup, I would add like, I would automate like 5 different synths. I would automate a bass line. I would like,
right.
You know, it's just like, I just like made everything like super hard for myself. But it wasn't really hard. It was just way more work than I really needed to do. And after years, I kind of learned, man, it's, you work smarter, not harder. It's quality over quantity. Minimal is way better. Like,
yep.
I've learned what certain songs for certain things need, you know what I mean? Just stuff like that, like throughout the years. And I feel like it's just made me a better producer and a happier person, you know what I mean? Because I'm not stressing myself out so much over certain things. If somebody sends me a song, we need to do this, or we need this to be better, or we need something like, I open it, boom. And then execute it. I'm not stressing over it. Boom, here's the idea. I'm confident in what I did. People like it. And I'm in a good place right now, man.
Yeah, well, I love hearing that, man. I think what I took out of what you said is that you're not second guessing your choices as much, right? Where it's just, if you do the first thing you do where you're, it's like, yeah, that sounds good. That can be it. You don't have to go back and overanalyze it, right?
100%. And that's exactly what I mean. I'm like, everything I start in, like, when I don't work on music, and I only work on music when I'm feeling inspired, when I get that spark. And that's when I know, I was like, all right, cool. I know I'm going to make something dope. I know, like, I make, like just earlier today, I was working on his house song and I heard it. I was like, all right, I know exactly what I need. Boom, cleaned up the kick, made the hat better, made the clap better. It sounds crazy now. Now I have a bass line kick, I'm just like confident. I'm more knowledgeable. I know exactly what it needs and what I want. And I think that helps a lot because you don't spend or waste a lot of time working on something that's, you're probably not going to like in, you know, a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's spot on, man. And I think it's interesting because I think, you know, if you're just starting off as a producer, I think it's easy to sort of think like, oh, well, the reason I can't make what I hear in my head yet is because I just don't know, you know, I need to know how every single VST works. I need to know how every, you know, exactly what settings to use on my mastering chain, all that. But I think what you're saying, which makes a lot of sense to me, is it's more about, I just need to make better choices. And I think that's the maturity that, you know, being in this game a long time gives you, is just that you just know which is going to, you know, from A or B, you know what's the choice is more often than not, right?
Exactly. And even now, like, I don't EQ and compress anymore. I just, like, put the files in there raw, make a beat, make an idea. All right, cool, bounce it down. Because at the end of the day, we're going to have somebody mix and master to make it sound crazy.
Right.
Beat myself up for that.
Well, and that's great too, right, is figuring out which part of the process is your happy place, is the most fun part for you. Because there's another school of thought where it's like you have to do everything yourself, and if anyone touches it at all, like, you can't claim it as much, which to me is a crazy thing, because we all know that the biggest records in the world are touched by, you know, tens if not hundreds of people before they get into anybody's hands.
Yeah, 100%, man. People don't realize like how many people it takes to actually make a song. It doesn't take, but people get involved somehow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
It just depends on, like, the artist, on if they care or not to have, you know, some artists are like, yo, I only want this producer working on my music. And some artists are like, yeah, just send me beats from anybody and I'll listen to them and see. Send them to songwriters. Oh, there's 3-4 songs are cool. Boom, all right, I'll sing. Like, it just depends on, like you said, those decisions made in that process.
Yeah, man. And I, as I was talking, I realized I could have sounded like a dick, because I'm not talking about, you know, there's certain, especially in the dance music world, certain producers who do every single thing by themselves. And you can tell, like, they, you know, there's people who make these incredible products that it's just their pure personality. And that's so dope to me too, because you can tell they love doing that. Like, that's what I'm looking for, man, is if I can just hear the fun the artist was having when they made it, whether they did it all themselves and that's why it's cool because that's important to them, or because it's, they were excited about this concept they had and then they executed it. Either way, what I want is that authenticity, that excitement, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. Well, let's talk about real quick the Major Lazer stuff, because, you know, you were saying earlier that in 2018, you were kind of feeling a little burnt out and you were taking this break. And it must have been kind of crazy to have the Major Lazer opening come about in that time when you're in that headspace. I mean, what was that like when they reached out to you?
Man, it was crazy. I remember, so I was in Houston. I remember the exact moment. I was in Houston visiting my family, and Party Fair was actually in town doing a show, and he had hit me. He's like, yo, I got a show tonight. Let's link up. I was like, cool. So I was on my way to meet him at the at his hotel so we can go to the venue. And on the way to the hotel, I get a call from my manager. He's like, yo, he's like, you busy? I'm like, nah. He's like, yo. So I got a offer for you, but it's like this and that. He was like, so Major Lazer is looking for a member to tour with them, and they're thinking of like grabbing you, but I wanted to see what you thought about it first. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, are you serious? I was like I wasn't doing music anymore, like you said. I was like kind of chilling, but after that I was like, wait, are you serious? Is this for real? It's like every kid's dream,
right?
When you're like an aspiring, like, let's say you're an aspiring drummer or like singer, guitar player, and you like have a favorite band, right? And you're like, man, you like dream about like being in that band with them and like doing performances.
Yeah,
That's like, it was like kind of, it's kind of like that. It's like, man, I literally went to like so many Major Lazer shows. I've known the guys for so long. I've worked with them, but I was still a fan. You know, I was like, man, like watching them on stage. Like, but anyway, when I, you know, when he told me that, I was like, in the phone, and I kind of, like, I wasn't like going crazy, but I was like, man, in my head, I was like going crazy. I was like, I was in a car, my friend was driving me, and I was like, yo, that's crazy. That sounds dope. He's like, yeah, he's like, would you be down? I was like, yeah, 100%. He's like, all right, cool. I just wanted to get your take on it before we kind of proceed with anything, blah, blah, blah. He's like, don't say anything. I was like, yeah, of course. So after we hung up, I just didn't say anything. I'm just like, you know, kept it cool because I don't like jinxing anything either, you know?
Of course, man. Yeah. And these kind of things too, it's like they fall apart all the time, right?
Exactly. I was like, yo, I'm not going to get like super crazy and then it doesn't happen. Then I'm going to feel like shit, you know?
You're right.
So after that, I just kept it cool and then didn't talk about it. And then like a week later, we had like a couple more meetings about it. And then just kind of like a slow process getting into the group because like, you know, I flew around with them to kind of like see a couple of their shows, how they actually do it, just to kind of get a vibe of it, to actually be on the stage and like watch it. And then, then after that, like we started linking up some more, started working on music and then shows got booked and then we're like, all right, let's do it. So.
Yeah. Well, that's been great, man. I mean, it's, you know, it's been great for me just seeing you hopping all over the place with them. And I'm sure it's super fun and inspiring and energizing and all that. Was there anything, and I asked this question because back in the day, I used to DJ for Kid Sister. And it was a similar thing where I got a call out of nowhere. They're like, hey, do you want to do this? And then for the next couple of years, my life took a wildly different direction because she was on tour all the time. And all of a sudden, I was just like, that was what I was doing constantly. And it was incredible for all the reasons you're saying. But then also I was like, man, I need to figure out how to reorganize my life, my time, how to make sure I'm still getting everything I want to do done, that I'm maximizing this opportunity when I'm on these other stages in front of different crowds, all of that. Was that ever a thought for you? Is that something you've been figuring out?
Yeah, man. Everything, I mean, doing these shows and meeting new people, I've been trying to like still move and, you know, be respectful of everything. I'm not trying to be that guy that's like in the front and like, oh yeah, like I never, you know, I'm still the quiet guy. I'm always going to be that quiet guy. I'm just like in the back, like chilling low key. I'm not been moving, but I think definitely obviously take advantage of every opportunity. And it's been good, man. Like, you know, people have recognized, a lot of people still haven't. But I'm okay with it, man. Like, I'm just happy to be part of something like, you know, a group like that and to do shows and to be part of something that's probably going to change people's lives in one way or another.
Yeah.
Make people happy, make music that people are enjoying. I think that's the most important thing, that I get to actually produce music that is reaching a lot more people, because like my stuff, like this EP, like it's not going to reach a quarter of like, you know, what Major Lazer's music reaches. So, yeah, I'm just happy to actually put my vibe and my sauce on like songs that are going to get played all around the world, especially if we do it live, man. It's crazy to think of a song that I made on my laptop and a desk in like 20 minutes. We go to Brazil because of it and get to play it in front of 20,000 people on the street. Like,
man,
people all over that country know a song word by word. And it's like, yo, I made this beat. Like, it's crazy still to this day.
No, that's incredible, man. I mean, yeah, there's no better feeling than something like that. I mean, it makes me wonder, you know, I guess split it up both for, you know, songwriting and for the live show, like what is the process with you and Major Lazer like? Like all three of you guys are super busy. You live in different places. You're hopping all around. So how do songs get written for Major Lazer? Like for you thus far, like what's your involvement been?
So we have a group chat and we're all like constantly talking every day, like whether it's like something funny, whether it's like something about, you know, music, whether it's something about shows, ideas, anything. We're like, we have a group chat and we're like all like super close friends, like, you know. So Wes is always like, obviously he's like a machine. He's working nonstop every day.
He's
still to this day, just
ridiculous,
traveling, working at the same time constantly. And like, so it's just one of those things where he'll be like, oh yo, I have this new song. He'll put in the group chat, yo, I got this song I just wrote with someone, or I had this song for like a year but kind of want to do something with it from the Major Lazer, like, Abe, can you, like, what do you think? Can you try something on here? Like, cool, boom. I'll do my thing on it. And then it either does or doesn't become a Major Lazer single or on that. Or I'll be like, yo, I have this, like, a couple beats that I made with the songwriter. What do you think? Like, you think it's, like, it fits a Major Lazer brand? Oh, yeah, this is dope. I can get somebody else on it. Boom. So then that's a record. While she would be like, yo, I'm in a studio with so-and-so or this Afro beat artist, like, we're all just putting in input and we're all doing like different things. Like, but most of the time I'm obviously like producing like from scratch, or I'm like adding to a song that's already been made, or I'm doing remixes, or I'm doing a lot of edits for the shows, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool, man. I think that's the most fun way to do it. Like, that sounds great. It's just three friends throwing ideas around, you know? And I think, again, we're coming back to this idea of like, don't overcomplicate it, right? Where it's just, yeah, Major Lazer is a huge group and with a huge platform, but you still got to keep to that same low key vibe for the creativity, right?
Yeah, people think that we're all like, we all three go in this crazy super $1 million studio and we sit there and like all three of us are playing keyboards. And I mean, that's not the way it is, you know? Like, like there's so many hungry producers out there. Like, people don't know, you know, a lot how the music industry works and how a song becomes a, why a song becomes a song. But we're all doing our own thing. We're all working as we go on the go. And I think we're all pretty good at doing that. So it works one way or another. You know what I mean? And I'm always like, if he sends me a beat or if they send me something to remix, anything from Major Lazer, like I'm on it. I'll have it by the end of the day. Like,
right.
Because, but it's also because I'm not in the studio all day, every day, killing myself.
Yeah.
It's because I wake up, I go to the gym, I enjoy my lunch. I'll work on it. Like, they'll, you know, but this is like, they'll tell me, yo, we have this remix or we have to finish this single. We have to finish the song. We need a better bass line. All right, cool. Boom. Sit on my couch for 3-4 hours. Boom. Bounce it down. What do you guys think of this? Yeah, this is dope. All right, cool. Send me the stems. Boom. Right. My job is done. So I'm chilling for the rest of the day. Like,
yeah,
that's just, and that's, I'm happy that way. You know what I mean? It's like a balance.
Right. So, and then too, again, it's, that's a simple process. Just get it on, get something to put on your plate, do it, move it off your plate, done. Like, it doesn't have to be crazier than that.
Exactly. And that's it, man. Well, there's no, you know, people still think we're, in the studio all together and, you know, we've done it for like camps. Like when we're in Miami or any part of the world, we'll do like a music camp. That's when we're actually doing that.
Yeah. But
most of the time, like, I mean, other than the pandemic era, but most of the time we're touring and doing our own thing and on the go. So we're pretty good at working that way.
Let's talk about the touring for a second. Like, you know, when you first flew out to those first few shows to kind of get the lay of the land of how the live show worked and all that. I mean, what is that process like? Because Major Lazer's live show is ridiculous. And it's, you know, there's all these different things happening every moment of the show. I mean, how much did you have to rehearse or kind of get clued in to how everything worked?
I didn't rehearse that much at all. They just kind of threw me in there. I think we rehearsed like once, but man, like the thing is, these guys have been doing it for what, 7+8 years, like maybe 10 years. I don't know, but these guys have been doing it forever, man. And they're really familiar with it. And like for me, like to just kind of go off and be like, all right, cool. And then after like 2 shows, like I still don't know it because I'm not there. Like for me, I have to be in control of everything, but that's just how it happens. Like you get thrown in a group like that after you've had your own career.
Yeah.
It's really hard to like, it's not hard, but it's just in order to, it's a lot of pressure to remember it and to know this, you know, because everything, we have choreographers, we have the show, we have the dancers, and they have to, the thing is they have to know too.
Right.
So it's like everybody kind of has to be on the same page, but nobody's ever really on the same page because right. We're all doing all different shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and the show is always changing, right? Like you were saying, you're making edits all the time. Little pieces are changing all the time. How do you incorporate that, like show to show?
I feel like, you know, the first, like for example, the first Major Lazer shows we have when we're coming back, we're definitely probably not going to rehearse.
Yeah.
Even though we try, like I'll be like, I'll make a whole set, I'll give it to the dancers, you know, we'll all get together, tell the guys finally, and then the day of the show, you know, they'll be like, oh, let's change this out, or right. Let's take this out.
Of course.
So then the dancers like freaking out. Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it takes like 3 or 4 shows to actually get like a proper, all right, this is for our set from now on. And then we'll let you know if we substitute a song or not, you know what I mean? Or update it with another song.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But that's
sense.
Usually how it goes, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how often do you think you like change up the whole thing, you know?
Like last year, like 2019 and 2020, we changed it up maybe like twice, but it wasn't drastically because we want majority of the set to be Major Lazer originals. So like, we can't really take those songs out. We want to keep them in there because that's the Major Lazer show. So
when you got to play the hits out, at this point too, right? Like Major Lazer has a string of hits at this point that people want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to kind of like fit them all in sometimes, you know? So like sometimes we have to take out like No No Better or something because we're like, all right, we have already too many songs. We can't play No No Better, but No No Better is like a big song. Or like Run Up, like we have to take Run Up on you, like stuff like that. Obviously, we're going to keep like the biggest one is like Lean On, Light It Up, Boomaye. Those are probably always going to be in there. But just which if we have a new album, man, like we got to like, you know, play some song. Like that's what I'm working on. I'm working on trying to get the new album as much as involved as much as possible in the new set, the new show. Making a lot of edits of songs that are popular just in general, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure as everything's opening back up and all that, you know, that I'm sure that Major Lazer machine is going to be spinning right back up real soon.
Oh yeah. We're excited, man. It's going to be crazy.
I mean, do you like the whirlwind of it all? Like plane to plane, hotel to hotel? Do you operate well in that kind of environment?
I love it, man. I love it. Like we just did that this past weekend. It was a good like feeling. We were like, man, we haven't did this in a minute. Everybody was in a good mood. Everybody was like pumped. I got, you know, everybody was feeling good. But yeah, man, I love it. I could do that all the time. Maybe not 365 days a year.
Yeah, but not like Wes.
Not like Wes. Wes is an animal, man. I don't know how he does it. I actually told him the other day. I was like, how do you do it, bro? He's like, I don't know. He's like, I just forgot what he said. He said, I can sleep when I die.
Yeah, like, okay. That's classic, man. I've asked him the same thing. Like he's been on this podcast a couple times and in private conversations too. I ask him the same thing. It's always some thrown off thing like that. I think one time he just said to me, he was telling me how he had just like gone overseas, like three times in the last like 2 weeks or something, like back and forth. And I was like, man, how are you still alive? How are you still awake? And he was just like, oh, I don't really get jet lagged anymore. And I was like, what? Like, you're still human, man. Everybody gets jet lagged.
I don't know. Maybe he's getting some like stem cell black market, you know, like some shit. Who knows?
He probably is. That's right. He's like, he's in a hyperbaric chamber every night.
Yeah, exactly. No, he probably is, man. Like he's honestly like, he just, once you do it for so long, he's just built for it. That's just like how he is. He's just a workaholic. He's a hustler. He loves to do. This is what he loves to do. And he's going to love to do it until he's gone.
Oh, 100%, so, man. You can tell. I mean, he's still as obsessed with it as ever, you know?
Exactly. It's just easier for him now. So the fact that it's easier for him now, he's like, I got to do more.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to sit there in a fucking, you know, little small ass fucking motel in the middle of fucking, you know, and struggle to make a song to like, he doesn't have to do that no more. Like he has a team, you know, he can be like a more of like a coordinator, or you can be more of like a A&R and like kind of relax and kind of, now he's like, you know what? I gotta do more now. Like now that I can do it this way, I gotta do like 10 times more.
That's the thing, man. I think every time I talk to him, you feel that sense that he knows he's on a platform that, you know, maybe won't always be there. And I think that's such a driving factor for him. It's really interesting because I don't know if I would react the same if I was in his shoes. But I think for him, man, yeah, it's like, I got to do the most I can while I have this attention. And that's it.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. It's just like hustling. Like he's so good at that. And I'm a hustler too, but man, this guy is on it on everything. I wish I had the same work ethic, like even with content, like social media.
It's crazy, man. Yeah.
Just as a person, you're just mad funny. Always has something to say. Like, I'm just like, man, I'm the complete opposite. I'm quiet. I'm so chill. I don't care about all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like about social media and like having content. Like, if I have it, I have it. If I don't, I'm not sitting here, you know?
Yep.
But then again, like I'm not in his shoes. So that's, you know, that's why he's so successful, you know?
No, 100%, man. I mean, it's funny, like hearing you talk about social media, I feel the same way where I used to beat myself up if I wasn't posting every day, all that kind of thing. And now I'm at a much happier place where it's like, yeah, if I have something to talk about, I post it. If I don't, I don't. And it's great. But then it's interesting for you. Like, I wonder, you know, you put out a new EP, you're touring around the world with Major Lazer. Does that pressure come back? Do you feel more pressure to be like out there a little bit?
And you know what? It's definitely, I do feel it. I'm like, you know what, man? Like I'm in this group. I got to act like it now. You know what I mean? I can't be the fucking quiet dude in the back, but be part of this major group where we're doing shows in front of 1,000 right. people on a big ass stage. Like, so I'm like, you know what? I do got to play the part. Like, fuck that. I got to like be this person. So, but the thing is, it's not forced. I don't feel forced no more. Now it's like part of the job. Yeah. And now it's like natural. So like, that's why like this last little trip we did, I was like, you know what? I found my little fisheye camera. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just like kind of vlog the whole thing on my phone and took the whole trip. And then I put up the video. Everybody was like, yo, you should do more of these. You should do more. So like, it's just coming naturally. You know what I mean? It's not forced. Me as Ape Drums, like I don't have shows and bookings like that now, especially since I just put out my first EP back. Like I'm not expecting it for a while, but when I do, then I'll have like, it's just all about like, do I have something worth people looking at, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm home all day, every day, most of the time.
Right. So people, it's like, what are you going to be posting? Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, you know what? Like, it's got to be on that vibe. Like, if I'm busy and I'm booked like week in the weekend, like every week, then of course I'll have way more shit to book or post. But yeah. If I'm chilling at home, I'm happy, man. I'm chilling like in my own zone.
Yeah.
Vibing.
Well, and you need that time to recharge too. I'm the same way. Like, you know, Wes, I think, is an extrovert. Like, he likes people around. And for me, I like people around, but it's, you know, I got to take time away from people too, you know? Like, I can't do that full time.
I don't like people around, man. But I don't know if that's like, it's just, I'm just so comfortable being alone now. And I saw like this quote that was Tom Hardy. Is it Tom Hardy? Is that his name? Tom Hardy, the actor?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, what did he say? Being alone is dangerous because once you get comfortable, you don't want to be around people at all. And I was like, man, that really hit me. I was like, I got so good at being alone. I'm so happy being alone that I don't ever want to be around people. And it's not a good thing because, yeah, like a lot of people suck, but it's also like, man, I can't be that guy that's like hiding and in the back, like doesn't want to be around. Like I got to so every now and then I'll be like, you know what? I got to be out and I got to socialize. I got to like make sure I don't lose how to talk to people, have a conversation.
So. Yeah, because you can lose it. It's so funny you say that, man, because I relate to that very strongly. And I don't know if it's the same for you. Music changed a lot of that for me because it put me out in front of a bunch of different people, you know, whether it's crowds watching the show or whether it's artists I'm working with or our peers, the other DJs, all that, people from different backgrounds and walks of life. And all of a sudden I had to talk to all those people and I had to be able to make connections with them in ways I never would have done on my own if music hadn't really forced me to do it.
Exactly. Music and a little bit of drinking.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, that's true. Were you like not getting on the mic before Major Lazer? Were you kind of like the quiet performer before?
So I was a quiet performer and then I did start getting on the mic because it just became like a standard. Like you kind of had to at some point. But I never really stood on stage, on like the booth or stage. I was always like, nah, I don't want to do that. I don't care. You know, like, but then after Major Lazer shows, it got me so comfortable with it that I was like, man, once I get my own shows and that are actually big enough to where I can like do that, I'm walking all over that fucking stage. Yeah. I'm interacting. I'm yelling at everybody. I'm doing the whole thing. So yeah, that definitely has got me like more comfortable to be on stage.
Well, yeah, that's great, man. And I mean, speaking of, you know, your own shows and growing everything you're doing, where's your head at now? Like, what are you excited about? What's coming up? Obviously, Major Lazer going to go crazy, I'm sure. But are there other visions you have, other goals you're thinking about or working on right now?
Yeah, man. So I want to just kind of organize Ape Drums as like a brand, as a name. Obviously, like the music that I want to put out, I want to kind of make sure it's organized, right? So what I'm talking to my management about it as well. I'm like, yo, so people know an Ape Drums DJ set by now. So I kind of, but I also really want to go back to my 2013 self and play house music because no matter what, even throughout all these years, I've loved house music. I've always tried to reproduce it, but it just wasn't time. And I think now that I'm like, as an artist, I'm mature enough. I think a lot of the fans are mature enough to understand it. Obviously, house is like going huge. It's getting huge again. Like in the, it's always been huge, but it's getting a little bit out of the underground and kind of into mainstream. So I was like, you know what? Let me go back to that vibe, because if I produce house, I'm gonna do it authentically. I'm not just gonna make like corny house remixes of like kind of what a lot of people are doing. So I'm like, you know what? I don't mind like getting back into that world. So even in Miami, like I've been talking to a lot of the locals here that do house music. I've never once been to any of their events, known anyone, but I've been like contacting them. I've been like, yo, like, let's sync up. Let's go get a drink, whatever. Yeah. I've met people through them, and I've even told them, bro, like, yo, listen, like, if you ever do an event, I would love to open up for you. Like, I just kind of want to get back in the swing of things. I kind of want to see where it's at.
I love that.
The vibe, you know? So I've been getting cool with mad people, all the locals. They've been showing me mad love, super nice.
And Miami's got a crazy house scene too.
Exactly. So like, I'm just kind of like going back to where like, I was like trying to like get my demos out to people. Like, I don't mind doing that again, because I'm not going to sit here and be like, yo, I'm a Major Lazer, I can make house music and still like try to like be, I got to start from the bottom, because these guys have been doing it way long. Like, they've been putting it a lot of work in that scene for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and try to cut anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%, man. Did you ever run into the Martinez brothers? You ever end up meeting them?
I met them, yeah, because Wes actually had his like 40th birthday a couple years ago in Jamaica, and all like us and like a bunch of his, like just like kind of like friends and family just kind of flew in, and he booked the Martinez brothers like to play at his DJ at his party.
Oh, nice.
But they did, like, that's what, I met him briefly. I didn't get to talk to him too much, but they did like a hip hop set there. They were like super happy, because they're like, yo, we get to finally play hip hop, you know? But yeah, like, I didn't meet him there, but I've spoken to him on IG. They live here now. I know one of their managers. So we've been talking about linking up and stuff. But like I said, it's another thing where I'm not just sitting here trying to link up with everybody. I'm like waiting for the time to be right.
Of course.
I don't want to just link up with them, and then we're like, all right, what now? You know, because there's nothing for us to really do. So that's why I'm like, you know what? So my next thing is I want to put a house EP out, and I want to brand it like, you know, Ape Drums, something set. So people know what to expect. And I'm still going to keep the Ape Drums like Soundboy set, where I play all the Caribbean stuff. I play all the bangers.
Yeah.
Like super fun, super world. But then I want to do something else, but like take it serious. I want to do like the house thing. I want to eventually do like events all over the world with it, maybe do a tour with it. Just kind of experiment, man. Like, if you could do it, if I have the opportunities to do something like that, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, man. And yeah, I think that's great, man. That's exciting to kind of go back to the roots and now feel like you're able to execute ideas that before maybe you couldn't execute them for whatever reason, but they were still there, right? So it's like, it's still going back to what made this fun and exciting in the first place.
Exactly. Now, when I linked up with the local guys here, I was told them, like, I did like back-to-backs with them. They were like, yo, you got a USB? I was like, yeah. And I was like, man, I feel like a kid again. Like, I remember feeling like a 18, 20-year-old self, like playing house music and like loving it. I feel like it's like, so that's another thing. It's like, I'm doing it for myself too, man. Like, it's becoming exciting again, you know, like to play music, to play house music in general. It's a whole nother world than playing like an EDM set.
Yeah.
It's so fun, man.
Oh man. I hear that, man. And it's like, I think about even the Hands On Me remix you did for Burns, that to me, you know, obviously it's like, that's not a straight up house song, but it's connecting with a house artist and kind of putting your spin on it. And I heard your remix and I was like, oh man, like, you could have told me that was the original and I would have been cool with it. Like, that was a great remix, man. I feel like there's so much ground to explore between what you do and then what somebody like a Burns or a Martinez Brothers, whoever, there's so much like fertile ground that people haven't explored in that area.
No, exactly, man. There's so much, but that's also, you bring up another thing is that remixes is also super like good for creative sparks, because I'll have like no inspiration, no motivation to do any music. But as soon as maybe I remix something, I listen to an acapella, I'm like, yo, I know exactly what to do with this. It's like, it's good to kind of like keep your creative juices going. And also it's good practice to become a better producer. I think that's where I started. I started doing bootlegs of songs. And it's so fun to do that. It's way more funner than doing an original, you know, coming up from scratch.
Oh, 100%, like, especially when you're starting off too, man. Like, I think for some people, and I was this way too starting off, it's like you want to be collaborating all the time. You want to be bouncing ideas around. And sometimes you're the only person in your town or you're seeing who's into it and you don't feel like you have people to do it with. But what you just said is totally right. You can collaborate with yourself, kind of like just go online, find an acapella, take somebody else's song, do something with it. You know, that's always the way to go.
Yeah. And it helps you as a producer being like, oh, there's this part of the song that doesn't have a bass line on it. I could use this and make it like a loop for like a top. And it's so fun to me. Like, I remember doing those bootlegs back in the day, like bootlegging super big house songs. Like, I was like, man, it was so fun. I'm like just having flashbacks thinking about it right now. But even still to this day, like if I want to do like edits for major laser shows or my shows, it's so fun. Like, I'll get like a song, I'll take a loop out of something and make it build up out of it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man. And you listen at the end, you're like, yo, I really did this. Like, nobody else thought about doing this. It's right? Crazy.
Yeah, dude, that's the key, right? Is nobody else thought about doing this. Like, it doesn't have to be the most complicated idea, but it's just the idea that you had that nobody else had.
Yeah. And it sounds fucking crazy. Right. You know what I mean? And then when you play it out, you hear the crowd reaction. You're like, man, this hits hard and not like crazy.
Yeah, that's the DJ brain again, man. I feel like that's all the way back to, you know, your mom playing all these different crazy sounds when you were a kid. That's all it is, man. It's just collecting ideas and putting them together.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Shout out to moms and my family for being so like crazy and open to like all kinds of music.
Were they cool with you? Were they cool with the path you went down? Were they worried about it at first?
Like when I was in high school and college, like me and my mom were like arguing every day because she was like, you know, I quit school and I just got like a part-time job because I wanted to do music. I wanted time in the day to pursue music.
Yeah.
And she was just like, yo, you need to go to school. Like, you're not going to do anything with your life because, you know, understandably, like, you know, how many parents like have a child, they're like, oh, I want to be the rapper or a singer or, you know?
Yeah.
And it never happens. It's like, it's normal, especially in our family, you know, she's like, oh, like it's probably not going to happen. Like, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we fought a lot, man. And like, finally, like, you know, after I told her I quit my job to go on this tour, she was like, all right, cool. Well, that's cool. Have fun. Like, all right. And then after a while, like I was doing more bookings and touring. And then that's what she was like, I'm proud of you. She's like, I'm glad you didn't listen to me because like you wouldn't have been able to do what you're doing now. Like,
so that's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, super, that's amazing.
Super cool.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, this has been great, man. It's really good to catch up with you. Before we get out of here, is there anything else we haven't talked about? Anything else that's on your mind? Anything else you want to get out there?
Nah, man. I'm just going to put out some all kinds of crazy music, though, all kinds of collaborations you probably wouldn't expect. Yeah, man, I'm going all over the place with Abe Drums now, man. It's gonna be dope.
I love it, man. I'm stoked to hear everything you're working on. And I'm gonna ask you one last question before we get out of here. It's the question I ask at the end of each one of these episodes, and it's kind of just like the first thing that pops into your head kind of question. Just looking for a time in your life, a memory, a moment when, and it could be from any time in your life, when in a single moment, music really deeply affected you, really had like a deep impact on you in that moment. And that's meant to be super broad. There's no wrong answer.
Oh man, there's a lot. Like, I'm really the worst at on the spot moments, but I guess one that comes up to mind was, I remember hearing a song growing up on the radio all the time. And I always remember the melody. And this was back then when there's no Shazam. Obviously, the only time you knew a song on the radio that they played is if they said it. They were like, yo, that was a new song by so-and-so. And that rarely happened. So I would hear the song all the time as like I was like 12 years old, 13, maybe even before. Maybe I was like 8, 10, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, I didn't hear the song again. And after years, I was like, I remember I was in middle school, high school. I was like, yo, what song is that? And I remember hearing the melody. I was like, I know the melody, but how can I find a song from just this melody? Is there a way? Did my research Didn't find anything, couldn't find anything because the melody I had in my head had no lyrics.
Right.
Then I was like, whatever, man, I just kind of gave up on it. And then, years later, when I was like in high school, I was like a senior, maybe it was in college actually. I was on a computer and I came across a song and I was like, wait, this is the song. And I was like going crazy because I love this song. I couldn't find it for 8 years? Like,
right.
So I was like, man, found the song. I listened to it 100 times, like 150 times that day, like after, just so happy that I found it. And it's still my favorite song to this day. And it's Push the Feeling On by Nightcrawler.
Shit. Yeah.
Like,
what a song.
The MK dub, obviously, but yeah, that song, man, that no matter every time I hear it, it never gets old to me, man.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's such a classic, and I'm sure lots of people have that kind of experience with that song, but I love any kind of music where it can just instantly put you back in a memory or instantly put you back in a feeling in 2 seconds, you know?
Yeah, it's like exactly.
There's not even thought involved.
Yeah, that's the song that no matter what mood I'm in, if anytime I'm out and I hear it, man, you can definitely, you see me change like instantly. Like I'll just be, oh, it's my song. Like I'll just get like in a burst of energy and I'll just be super happy. And not a lot of songs do that, so.
Yeah, 100%. Sure. Those are the songs we're chasing as producers, right?
Like, yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like, that's the impossible dream.
So timeless.
Yeah, man. Well, I love that. That's like, yeah, some of my favorite songs are exactly those kind of moments. But yeah, this has been great, man. It's good catching up with you. Great to talk to you.
No, same, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Later.
Peace. That's the show. Shout out to Ape Drums. Thanks for coming through, man. It was great to have you on. For everybody out there listening, don't forget Ape Drums, the Soundboy EP, is out right now on Mad Decent. He's 1/3 of Major Lazer. They're going to be back on the road heavy once everything is fully kicked back into gear. You know how they do it. So go follow Ape Drums. Keep up to date with everything he's doing. The link for that is in the description. You can follow me as well at Willie Joy or at Back to Back Pod on all social media. Come join the Back to Back Discord, link in description as well. And I don't know, that's about it. What else do you guys need? You need a massage? You need me to come over and rub your feet? I mean, I can do it, but it's gonna cost extra. You know what, we'll work that out off of the podcast. You know, just hit me up in the DMs. We'll work that out. Yeah, it's usually time for me to end the podcast when I find myself making arrangements to rub listeners' feet privately. It's time to turn off the recorder. So for everybody out there, I hope you're doing well. I love you all. I'm sending you lots of support on anything you're working on, any goals you're trying to accomplish. And that is about it. I will talk to you next week. Big things coming. I'm excited. I hope you're excited too. Take care of yourself. Take care of the people around you. And I will talk to you next Tuesday. For Back to Back, this is Willie Joy. Peace.